In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on The Voice of Charity. Welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here as we equip you with practical tools to live your faith in our modern world of today. And this week, we brought in comedian Anthony Salome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, brother.
I think the devil really wanted to stop us from meeting and having this show.
Yeah.
You know?
How many times did we try and make this happen?
Maybe three times.
Yeah.
This is the third time. We fought it, you know, and just driving through here to the studio, you just with the weather and everything. It was like a spiritual battle to get here.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here, brother.
And thank you for being here with me. And it's a great honor to have you. I've actually been a great fan of your comedy, and I'm a great comedy lover or comedic lover. I love comedy. That's sort of how I entertain myself.
Yeah.
I watch all the ethnic comedy, the Asian comedy, the woke comedy.
That's the best.
I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah. What's better than laughing? You know, and I appreciate that. You know, I know we've met previously at my shows and stuff, and
yeah.
No, I appreciate your support. And
was it in Moore Park that we met?
At the comedy store.
At the comedy store, right. Yeah. Love that, yeah. And you had that long hair.
Actually. I know, I had the long hair, the big beard.
You look like one of the disciples. If you were to repaint one of the disciples,
I guess we are disciples, right? But yeah. Different era, just too much work with long hair, you know, yeah. And it's like thick and curly,
too much maintenance.
Lebanese, you know what I mean? It's just, it's tough work, you know, it's not like a shampoo commercial where it's all shining and gliding. It's tough. There's chunks of hair that come out all the time.
Too much maintenance. You have to comb it, and it's, mate, absolutely fantastic. And those are the post-COVID jokes.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that show, you know, everyone making fun of COVID, everything that everybody did during COVID. And it's just, yeah, it's a great honor to have you. And you were, for those who don't know you, do you want to start off by introducing yourself and some of the work that you've carried out over the years as a comedian and as an actor?
Yeah.
As well.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, stand-up comedy, it kind of all started in theater. Doing theatre shows 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of, I moved into stand-up comedy very organically. And then that kind of moved into television as well. And it just, I always loved the idea of maybe doing TV or, you know, but I never kind of went out to seek it, to say, I want to do this or I want to do that. It just kind of organically happened, I guess, when you're involved in that industry. And then I got an opportunity to work on radio, and that's kind of been a big chunk of the last 10 years of my life.
Virgin Radio Lebanon
for yeah. 6 years.
Beautiful. What was that like?
Oh, phenomenal. Have you ever been to Lebanon?
Yeah, I've been there once, yeah, in the year 2009.
Yeah.
I was in year nine, actually, okay. Year 10. So I was fairly young, but I remember when I went to Lebanon, we saw it from top to bottom,
yeah.
Every place. And I still remember it. Like it's that I know where everything is.
You know, first time I went was as a late teen, I think in 2004 or something,
mm-hmm.
And it was with the family, and it was a great trip, but I went back a few years later with my friends, and it was a totally different trip. I recommend you go back with your beautiful wife and, you know, go show, you got to show her Lebanon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So
I've been 4 times to the Philippines.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Very humid.
Yeah.
Very humid. But, yeah, but, you know, it's more attractive to take a 6-7 hour flight than a 13-hour flight plus three. But we definitely have to go back to Lebanon. And I think this time you look at it from a historical perspective, looking at the history.
Totally.
And, you know, the great food and nightlife that's there.
You know, and, you know, if you want to speak about the faith, the amazing places you can go there regarding the faith. I mean, with my wife, our first date was in Lebanon, and you know, we went up to St. Charbel's Monastery on our first date after a hot dog. So you know, cheap
not date. A shawarma.
No, we had a hot dog. It was like a hot dog stand. It was a terrible hot dog, by the way. I started feeding the cats my hot dog, you know, and she loved cats, so she thought I was like the most romantic guy. She goes, "Oh my goodness, this guy's feeding the cats in front of me," but it was just a terrible hot dog.
But don't trust the Lebanese to cook a hot dog.
Yeah, no, that's right. Go for the shawarma, for sure.
Stick to what you're good at.
Yeah. So 6 years in Lebanon, that was amazing. It was phenomenal time, honestly. Yeah. It was so good. I really love that place. And the dream for me one day is like to retire in a village in Lebanon. I'd really love that, you know.
In a beautiful village.
Yeah, I'd love that. And then came back, COVID hit. And yeah, just continued with the stand-up and theatre. But really in the last few years, you know, I've been working on my books, on my children's books, so become an author.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a shock for my high school teachers to know that I've become an author. They're like, "What? How did that happen?" But yeah, it's something that, you know, I'm so passionate about. And I know, like, you know, I've done so much work in the entertainment field over
the
last 20 years.
This is a question from me. How did the fat pizza guy? Because you're featured in Fat Pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's such a probably not the most Catholic or wholesome thing, but it reflects the Australian.
Totally.
The Australian experience. And Fat Pizza, you start in there and you had a great career as a comedian, and what I love specifically was the song you came up with, Zaytan Zaatan.
Oh yeah, yeah.
YouTube.
Come with a couple of different Lebanese food songs.
Yeah,
I'm a guy that loves my food. We're talking about Zaatan before we jumped on air tonight.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, you know,
discussing our favorite manosh.
You know, to be honest, doing those shows, I mean, it was great just to be working on television, and I was a fan of the show growing up, so. But if I had the kind of perspective I have now and where I am now in life, and I saw those scripts, and you know, I probably wouldn't do half the things that I was doing.
Yeah.
But that's life, right? We grow.
That's part of the development. Yeah.
100%
in life.
And you know, obviously, being in working in a field like stand-up comedy or acting or theatre or even radio, these are the most secular industries out there. So, you know, I veered off for quite a few years where, I mean, thank God my parents instilled the faith in us when we were very young. They laid that foundation, and I thank them for it every single day. It was so important. But yeah, for me, you know, I guess you call it, I became like a casual Catholic where I'd go to church sometimes. You know, I've got a gig on, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. You know, you get caught up a little bit, and the career is what you're going for. The career is what you're following and what you're chasing after, rather than a stronger relationship with God, which is, you know, kind of, and like we said, it's a journey, and that's kind of where I'm at now. So yeah, I mean, I'm grateful for all those times.
Yeah.
But how does the fat pizza guy get to writing faith-based children's books? Well, I mean, you know.
How does St. Paul, persecuting Christians, get to where he is? I mean, that's all part of, I mean, what's beautiful about the journey, you know, to grow closer to our Lord.
Amen.
And it's great. It's very fat. I wanted to ask you as well, what was the experience like working for Virgin Radio in Lebanon? What was the radio experience like?
It was amazing.
When it took the radio side of the career.
It was really good. It was, and, you know, being in Lebanon as well, I mean, the show was in English, but when I started, you know, the show was Anthony and Frankie. The girl that I was with, her name was Frankie. So they just hear Anthony and Frankie and hear this Aussie accent. They just thought I was some Aussie guy that's come from Australia. But when I started talking about, you know, my mum's kubinei and, you know, growing up and hara and wear a fanella and like all the fanella,
I got told to wear it.
I got one on now. 40 years old. I'm married with a child.
But they don't have the big skivvy neck that we used to have. They've got a, it got lower.
I'm glad you didn't miss the skivvy generation.
Oh, the skivvies.
What happened to the skivvies? I think they went out with the Wiggles.
They did go out, but I think they're now either this high-end white skivvy that you wear with a... If you want to look high-end, you know, you wear the white skivvy and then you put a blazer on top.
Yeah, totally.
That kind of look.
Totally.
Not in every day. No one wears it anymore.
But, yeah, they were a must when we were kids. But yeah, so, you know, I started speaking about growing up as a Lebanese kid, and they were on board, and, you know, thank God it was a very successful time in Lebanon. And it was just the hospitality. Like, I mean, you know, we were just talking about food. It's impossible to find a bad meal in the country. Like if you go to a little shawarma stand, or if you go to a high-end restaurant, you're going to enjoy them both as much. Yeah. You know, it's
one of the best culinary.
Yeah.
It's something we can be proud of, you know. Of
totally.
People of Lebanese background, you know, it's one of the best culinary.
It is. It really
foods
is.
Foods of the world.
And the people there was just, I made, you know, lifelong friends. And, you know, I know you meet good and bad people everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I met some of the best people I've ever met in my life in Lebanon. And they took me in like family. And, you know, just seeing where my roots are from, my DNA. I mean, first time I went to Lebanon, I was, like I said, I was about 19 years old. So spending those 6 years there, working there, immersing myself in the culture and being a big part of the culture for that time, you know, people waking up every morning listening to you and engaging with you. And it was amazing. And I met my wife in Lebanon, so I got to put that in there. She'll appreciate that. So it was the best.
A big shout out.
Yeah.
Big shout out to her.
Yeah, so it was a great time. And it was working on radio in Lebanon was very different than working in Australia on radio. Very different. It's over there, it's more about, you know, a fun kind of easy time. Where in Australia, it's just kind of a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more political, a little bit more, you know, not as enjoyable. I mean, it was always all right. It was an okay
What's
time.
The difference between Australian and Lebanese radio, would you say?
I feel like there's more people that want to justify their job here in Australia. I think there's more people that want to have a say rather than just leave it to the presenters to kind of create the content and make something engaging and fun. There's
too many call-ins.
There's a content director and a general manager and then a head of content and then, a national content director. And, you know, everyone kind of wants to put their two cents in where, you know, you feel like, and as a radio presenter, or as a comedian, I'm a comedian coming and doing radio. I like to think of myself as a creative person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you feel like that's being a little bit suppressed and it's just, you can't really spread your wings.
Whereas in Lebanon, you can spread your wings.
You can spread your wings. They had two rules, right? Rule number one, don't talk about politics. And rule number two, don't talk about religion.
Okay.
And I was happy not to talk about either of those things. And, you know, in a country like that, you want to unify people. You don't want to divide people. You know? And it's funny, like, it's people just live side by side and get along. Different beliefs. It seems like it's more divided here than over there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very kickback.
Yeah,
creativity came
just
out.
Make it fun.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what radio is about. It's not meant to be. It's like what we're doing here. We're having a conversation. Mm. People are listening to us. We're having fun. It's about the naturalness.
Yeah,
I really 100%. Resonate with you when you said, you know, we have to have fun and just has to be that creativity and that naturalness.
Well, I think it has to be very natural. What makes you want to keep it tuned into a radio show? You feel like you're in the lounge room with whoever's talking on the microphone or whoever you're tuning into. You want to feel like they're relatable. And when you got too many, I mean, I don't know the right way to put it, but when you got someone saying you don't step this foot here, don't step that foot there. So like, it's just kind of, but one thing I never shied away from, and that is not so much, I know they said never speak about religion. I think they meant it in a negative way. I never shied away from being who I am and talking about my faith. Like, you know, when Lent came around, I always spoke about the things I was giving up at Lent. And even here in Australia on radio, you know, I never shied away from that. So whether they like that or not, I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, I always.
Lebanese always do two extra days because we're better than everybody else.
That's it.
Ash Monday.
We want to beat everyone and everything. The Lebanese, we're best at everything.
With the Maronite.
Even fasting.
With the Maronite Church, one of 23 churches within the Catholic Church, everyone starts Wednesday. The Lebanese have to start Monday.
Is there anyone but the Maronites to start?
It's just the Maronites.
Just the Maronites. Orthodox, do they start on a Monday?
I think it's a Wednesday. Yeah. Okay. All the Byzantine, all the other Eastern churches, everybody starts Wednesday. Maronites. We just have to be different.
We have to. You know what I mean?
Two extra days.
Okay, so we're going to get people talking about us somewhere. You know what I mean?
It's fantastic. It's just the whole radio and comedy. You know, comedy brings a lot of joy to people.
It does.
You know, brings that entertainment. That's why I love comedy. I love going to comedy shows, stand-ups, watching people like yourself, the other ethnic comedians. You know, your Ronnie Chang.
Yeah,
you know, your
very funny guy.
David Chappelle. You know, your Rob Shahady. Tahir, all the other WOGs, Australian or American, or the Asian ones trying to make fun of, you know, the Asian quirks or, you know, the Lebanese or the Arab quirks. It's really, really funny and it brings a lot of entertainment to people. And I think we need a laugh. We need to relax.
We do. We need to relax, especially in today's day and age where you feel like, you know, everything's trying to divide people, no matter what the conversation is like. You know, my nephews and nieces, young kids, now teenagers, and, you know, they're kind of aware of what's happening politically. And, like, I remember as kids, we never discussed politics. We never knew anything like that. We were children. We were allowed to have our childhood. But I feel like with social media and you know, wanting to be cool and popular and follow the trends and, you know, I feel like kids are losing that innocence at a younger age and kind of maybe being influenced by the wrong things.
Yeah. I mean, what happened to just having fun?
Totally.
At least for a period of time till you discover the world and the politics.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of what, you know, really drove me to write these books. Like I only really said I wanted to write one children's book. Like I was just kind of like, a bucket list thing, you know. I said, oh, you know, I'd always love to write a children's book. And I wrote the ABC one, J is for Jesus. And
for those watching through, it's J is for Jesus by Anthony Salome.
It was such an enjoyable process, you know. And I kind of was going back and forth whether I should make a faith-based book or just a general kind of ABC book. But, you know. I decided to go the faith-based route. I'm so happy I did. And now, you know, the second book came out and the third one's only a few months away and hopefully the fourth before the end of the year. So I'm really loving the whole process of creating these books.
See, I'm already engaged. I feel like a child again. You know, I'm engaged now.
Well, I mean, it's for grown-ups too, this book, you know. I got Bible verses on each page.
That's what's amazing. You have the Bible verse. The beautiful image that takes up the whole page, that really engages you. I mean, this is fantastic.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate
it. It's absolutely fantastic.
I wanted to ask you, sorry to veer off topic for a little bit.
That's okay.
The show's called The Catholic Toolbox.
Yes.
Show. If you had a Catholic toolbox, I don't know if you've ever discussed this on the show, if you've ever discussed it with another guest, have you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What would you have in that toolbox? Like, what was it if you had, you know, your necessities where you're going out into the wild, into the world, and you need your Catholic toolbox? What are you taking with you?
In the toolbox, I'd have my spiritual director in there.
Okay. All right.
If I could put him in.
Yeah.
In the toolbox, I'd also have my spiritual journal that I use because that's a practical tool that helps me to, you know, stay on top and recount what I'm doing spiritually.
I like that. I never considered that. Spiritual journal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what else would I have in there?
The Bible, of course, right?
Of course. Yeah. Scripture.
Rosary beads.
Rosary bead.
Scapula.
Yes.
Okay.
Holy water.
Holy water, of course. Blessed,
exercise salt. Benedictine medal. The miraculous medal.
Yeah, the miraculous medal, of course.
You know, and a bunch of a phone book with a bunch of numbers, people to call.
Nice. Nice.
Things that will help me to take action with my faith, yeah. The practical tools. That are there.
And have you always, you're a young guy. Have you always had that strong faith? Has it always been instilled in you from a young age?
Mm.
And
mm.
has it just become stronger and stronger over the years?
Mm. Well, similar to you, I grew up Maronite. So my parents, both from North Lebanon, migrants, instilled the faith in us. You know, I went to a Lebanese Maronite Catholic school for 13 years of my life. So the faith was entrenched in our culture, you know, of our parents, you know, as migrants. So I grew up with that sense of the fear of God, going to Mass every single Sunday. I remember, you know, when we went to Mass every single Sunday, Macca's was an added package. That's how my parents made Mass more attractive.
That's how you know you're a different generation than me. I had Macca's twice in my whole childhood, and once it was like a family friend that took us. It wasn't even my parents took us once, I think.
So we got more spoiled.
Yeah, you got more
spoiled. You know, I'm a little bit younger than you. So Macca's was part of the deal, you know, and I remember every single church's feast, you know, in the Lebanese church, I don't know if there were five or six Maronite churches. Every feast we'd attend, we'd go to that church, attend the feast and go to the party, you know. So it was Mass every Sunday. My mum taught me my hymns, parts of the rosary. And I remember when you always hear about, you know, miracles or something happened, another miracle, family gets together, everyone's talking about it. And it's, you know, that's where your faith would sort of wake up, you know, when you're at an early young age. But then eventually, as you go through the end of primary school, early high school, you forget, you don't have that living relationship with God, you know, because there wasn't that catechesis or teaching that was there. And then eventually in late 2009, Tim Staples, when he came to Australia, I discovered my faith there and I started to actually study and read. It wasn't until then that my relationship with God started, you know, connected correctly. You know, I had the cultural foundation like we both had, but then there wasn't an understanding what I was doing. You know, I saw God, my relationship with God was very transactional. You know, I want to do all my tests. I want to beat these people. Here's 50 cents. Here's 50 cents. Put them on the altar, please.
Yeah.
And then it's like chucking a bet.
50 cents to the church and then $7 on the Macca's meal.
It was a bit cheaper.
Your priorities.
It was a very Lebanese relationship, very transactional.
Of course. You did something for me, I'll do something for you, Habibi.
That's it. My wife's probably laughing now. That's how we work. You're Maronite, I'm Maronite. You know, you're Lebanese, you help each other out. You know, once I put $50 in the church, I'm like, mate, I'm going to do very well now. In my exam, you know, I'm going to pass.
What's sad is that there's probably people like that have been going to church their whole life and probably still believe that. You know?
And you get really angry when you don't get what you want.
Oh.
You know, you got to confess. You say, like, why was I let down? I got ripped off here. $50. $50, man. It was then 2009. I studied my faith and realized, hey, the life of a Christian is not going to be, we're not called to ease and we're called to, you know, the cross. We're called to take up our cross and save our soul. You know, it clicks. But again, like you said, how many people don't get to the stage where they have that experience and they have someone that catechizes them eventually, so that foundation sort of, you end up building a house.
100%. And even for me, like, I really came strong into the faith like COVID time.
Exactly.
Prior to that, I mean, yeah, like, of course, I never, you know, was ashamed to talk about my faith, and I always was a believer. But really, if I want to be honest, you know, that's when I really started taking it seriously. And
let's talk a bit about, I know we've spoken about your career, but let's speak about where your faith, how did your faith develop? I know you grew up in a good Maronite Catholic parents, you know.
My mom goes to church every morning.
Every morning. Yeah. And mujadara and falafel during Lent.
Of course.
No meat, you know, on Fridays. The culture, the faith, you know, is there.
Yeah.
But then how did your faith develop into where you are now? Did you get to a point? And I'm sure you're going to speak about this. Did you get to a point where you realized, you know, I need to grow my relationship with God?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you know, COVID was a crazy time for everyone, you know, just, you know, you look around and see what was happening in the world and you're just like, what is going on?
And that was 4 years ago. Can't believe
it. Oh, is that 4 years? Oh, my goodness. It was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of time on our hands and you know, it just kind of made me reevaluate everything and I've started reading the Bible a lot more and I started listening to sermons and attending daily mass and it just kind of, it was like a snowball effect. It just got stronger and stronger and stronger and I wanted more. And it happened really quickly, but it was the best. That's the best thing that's ever happened to me, really. And I thank God for it because now I have a son, and you know, I would not want to raise him as a lukewarm Catholic, as somebody that, you know, yeah, we might go to church on Sundays, you know, but we had a late night last night. Don't worry, but I want to teach him about the sacraments and what they mean. And I feel like so many of us go through life, you know, just thinking that we can just check off those mass on Sunday or whatever. Like, but if you realize the gifts that we have in our faith and you know, I know it's hard for a lot of people to comprehend, but actually receiving Jesus every week, that's like, you know, and I still have a lot of close friends that I, like my family, they won't go to mass and they'll complain about this priest or, you know. And I heard someone once make this analogy that, like, if you hear someone play Beethoven terribly, do you blame Beethoven or do you blame the person that's playing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not an excuse to give up all those treasures and all those gifts that, you know, God's given us and that Jesus has given us to say, because you don't like this guy. That's just lazy. It's making excuses, you know? And I thank God that, you know, my mind is not, my mindset isn't like that at all anymore because, you know, I feel like it's my duty to raise my son to be a soldier of Christ, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And to save our soul, we all have to save our souls. That's why we're put on this earth, to know, love, and serve God to eventually at the end of our lives.
And I think everyone thinks it's just really easy to do that. I think that's what.
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
That's the problem.
And I think that, you know, and I think with our faith, because, you know, Catholicism or Christianity in general is all about love and forgiveness and turn the other cheek, and it's not as full on sometimes, but it really can be if you dig deep and you really get your hands dirty into it. You know, it's, we are called to be extreme with our faith, you know, and I don't think there should be, you know, two ways about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're not part-time Christians.
That's right.
You know, and I had a great homily last Sunday. The priest said, he said very important, he said, are we part-time Christians? Are we, is coming to mass and my faith simply just a hobby that I do on the side? I go on Sunday, you know, just for the kids, you know, makes us feel nice. It's all about us. You know, we feel good. We go on Christmas, you know, it's just there. We grew up with the tradition. Is it a hobby? Or is my faith everything, which penetrates every aspect of my
everything,
life?
Everything, everything. Yeah, that's,
you know,
exactly.
Your comedy, you know, my day-to-day work, you know, your books, your relationship with your wife and your kids, your friends, your leisure, everything.
Totally. Even like now, I mean, last time you saw me, I would have dropped a few curse words 3-4 years ago. But now, like, I know no more F-bombs on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not cursing. The material, I mean, you know, I've haven't really done any of the below the belt material for a while, but you know, I used to do that stuff, you know, because I just thought it's comedy.
Yeah.
But it's not. You got to be all in. You got a responsibility, especially if you got a microphone and you're talking to a group of people and you could possibly influence people.
And that's a beautiful example that you set, that you're a comedian. You know, so many people would say, well, this is my work. You know, my faith has to go to the side. But here you are, you know, that it really, when you say that, all I could think about is worship. When we worship God, it means we get with God's demands.
Yeah.
We don't mold God to suit our life.
That's right.
You know, worship means we worship God. It means if I have to adjust my work, if I have to adjust, you know, swearing at.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, so, my suppliers or anybody else or get angry. It means, you know, I have to speak to people better. It means you may have to adjust your material.
100%.
It may mean there's certain friends that you may not be able to befriend or be as close with as much as you can. We have to make sacrifices to get to worship God. It means submitting to God's will. And that then thereby affects our lives.
Yeah.
That we mold our life around the gospel.
Amen. 100%.
You know? And it's beautiful that, you know, you're out there, you know, you're a really funny comedian. I really find you funny.
Cheers,
man. I really do.
That's good. Hopefully I'll stay in a job for a little bit longer, you know.
I'll be laughing.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. But yeah, man, it's
when's your next show?
I got to invite you out to we got a big show happening in July at the Enmore Theatre, and we're doing it in Melbourne. It's called Don't Forget the Garlic Stand-Up
Comedy. Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm going to invite you along to that.
I'll be coming.
Yeah.
I'll be coming.
I'll invite you and your wife along. Okay. You guys will love it.
Okay.
I'll give you good seats. Lebanese discount. Don't worry.
My wife's listening. You know, you look after me, I'll look after you. That's it. Don't worry about it.
What's the Filipino discount?
The Filipino discount. I think Lebanese take to the next level. Yeah. I look after you, you look after me. No, I think Filipinos will give you a discount.
Yeah.
They'd be happy and nice.
They're such beautiful people, Filipinos.
Yeah.
They're
very joyful.
Very joyful.
Lebanese sometimes we can be a bit tough.
We can be.
You know, Filipinos can be too, you know, they can be really joyful. It's a good compliment.
It is. It's a great.
Me and my wife, you know, she's more joyful. I'm more, you know, the solitary, you know, than we.
Of course.
Compliment each other.
So. 100%. You know, and me and my wife are the same. Like, she's an over-worrier and I'm just like a more, you know, just take it easy.
Calm.
Like, my son will fall over and she'll be like, oh my God, what's it? I'm like, he's all right. Don't worry.
Maybe that's dads in general as well.
Yeah, probably.
So no garlic. Yeah. So it got to the point. So it was COVID for you.
Yeah, it was really COVID.
That did it.
It was COVID because, you know, everything in my life stopped. All the
shows got shut down.
All the noise. You know, and I'll call it noise. I'm more than happy to call it noise. Like all the stuff, you know, you want to go hang out every day with your mates. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't have friendships, but it was a time for me in my life where I could just stop. Like my wife, she's Canadian, so we were just dating at the time. She was here visiting me and she went back to Canada. They locked down the borders. I didn't even see her for 2 years.
Wow.
So, which was probably a big part of me, you know, really strengthening my faith. It was
having the time to reflect,
you know, just, like doing those things, like going to mass, like
with your individual self, you know,
individual self, just like in the mornings, like wake up in the morning, go to mass, then go exercise. Like it just, you know, and I tell you what, like working your spiritual side out is like going to the gym. Your muscles get bigger.
Yes, yes.
Your faith gets stronger. And I encourage everyone, like now it's, you know, it's tough. Like I can't get to mass daily every day, you know. But that's what I'm working towards. Like I'm working towards it. You know, I I'm conscious of it. And I always say to my, I wanted to get to mass today. Like, kids and work.
We do what we can, and then we try and go, this is the ideal, and this is how close we can get, you know.
Totally.
That's the beauty of, you know, living our faith. We strive for 100%, but we may fall short. And
we all fall short, right?
Exactly.
Because
we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And I mean, I just reflecting on 2020, it was just absolute crazy.
It was insane.
Everything shut down.
Everything shut down. Everybody was turning on each other. You know, whether you thought this way or you thought that way, the whole world was divided.
But everyone's lives stopped.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot of grace there.
Mm.
You know, similar to your story, I've spoken to so many people.
Yeah.
And because masses were live, they couldn't go out of their homes. People asked those questions like you did. It was a moment of grace for so many people to wake up and think, what is the purpose of my life? What is my relationship with my Creator? And then our podcast, many more people tuning into the podcast and Parousia Media and all the other platforms, people wanted answers.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful time, you know, in the midst of that crisis. So many people started watching Mass live and they started coming. You know, there was people that left, you know, church and never came back. But I guess, you know, there's always something underlying there. They may not know what the Mass is about. And catechesis is a big problem.
Mm.
But I see it as a blessing, the crisis.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. I agree with you. It was definitely a blessing. And yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not the only one. There's so many other people.
So what drew you then? After, you know, coming to Christ, growing your relationship with God, what drew you to the apostolate of, you know, Catholic children's books?
Yeah, like I said, I did the first one and I really enjoyed the process. And, you know, like, you get with the comedy, you know, people say, oh, that's so funny and that's great.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying your compliments. but, you know, like, with the book, like, you know, I had a parents come up to me and say, you know, because I got Bible verses on this, they're like, you know, my kid came up to me and said, Mom, can we go get the Bible to see what this Bible verse is in the book? And I'm like, like, that made me feel more proud than anything I've ever done. And honestly, and I'm not just saying that, it really did. And I know sometimes we can get carried away and think, oh, I'm awesome, I created this. No, it's all for God's glory. That's why we do it.
Exactly.
And we're human. We can get carried away when we hear a compliment, we get really excited. And it's just human nature.
Yeah.
But I felt driven to, I know a lot of parents that when teaching their kids the faith, or they may be afraid to kind of get deep into the faith of the kids because they think it's going to go over their heads or they probably won't understand. Like, I just felt like in today's day and age, like, we see what's happening to kids and how the world is crazy. What they're saying, it's just upside down. Mm-hmm. So I thought, if I can kind of contribute to helping, you know, build that foundation for children's faith and just, you know, telling the stories from the Bible and about Jesus's life and in a way that they can kind of relate to and understand. Mate, you know, I enjoy the process so much.
So let's talk about the Messiah's donkey. So for everybody here,
this has been a journey for me, this book.
Make sure you get a copy of this book, The Messiah's Donkey, and I believe it's available at Parousia Media.
It is, yeah.
Currently?
Or you can go to jcbook.co, which is my little publishing company.
Yep. Is it available on Amazon as well?
No, not yet.
Yep.
Not yet. I'm
It'll eventually end up there.
It will eventually end up there.
Everything else.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit slack with that stuff, but thank God the response has been amazing and I've actually been going to schools and I'm reading the book to kids now and kind of speaking to them about Jesus and this book kind of, it's about Holy Week and Palm Sunday.
Give us a summary. What's the Messiah's donkey about?
So it's about Zeke, Ezekiel, but everyone calls him Zeke. He's a lonely little donkey that's tied to a tree next to the Mount of Olives.
Ah, yeah.
And of course, he never gets asked to help around and you know, two men in robes came and asked the little old man that's got him tied to the tree to, you know, the Lord is in need of him. And you know, he prays and he asks God, you know, does anybody need me? And God answers his prayers. And, you know, Jesus called him to enter Jerusalem on the humble donkey. He is that humble donkey.
Wow.
And
never seen it from that perspective. Yeah. Never seen it from that perspective that, you know, there's probably a lot of busyness in this whole gospel account, but to focus on the humble donkey.
Yeah.
Is very, the donkey, very beautiful.
It's a phenomenal animal. Like, you know, if you look into it and why Jesus chose to enter Jerusalem, I mean, you know, usually they say kings would come into town on a horse and, you know, he chose the most humble animal. I mean, how great is our God, you know, to save the world. Yeah, so, I mean, listen, it was, people have really responded well to come from that perspective, because I tackle some things like bullying and faith and prayer and I put like holy facts
in the story, focusing on just the donkey.
Yeah, because it was a donkey that's tied to a tree, and you know,
no one cares about him. They just needed him to take our Lord, you know, through Jerusalem.
That's right.
So it's like, that utilitarian, you know, thing.
Totally.
But that's absolutely beautiful. You know, just the focus on the donkey, and many faith books from my experience just recount the story of our Lord. Here you're focusing beautifully on someone that's forgotten.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. I'm sure a lot of kids feel that way.
Exactly. Too, you know? Exactly. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful.
Doing the research when I was writing this book, I mentioned in the book, you know, every donkey has a cross on their back. Did you know that? Did you know every donkey has a cross on their back?
No, I didn't know that.
So every donkey in the world has like the hair on their back goes down and across their shoulders.
Really? Really?
Yeah. And they can't.
Look that up.
Yeah, look it up. You just look on Google Images, donkey's cross on back, and every donkey in the world has a cross on their back. And the only explanation is related back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God. So definitely get a copy of this book for your children or even for adults. I know I'm going to be reading this while having my coffee.
I'd love to know what your thoughts
are. I'll definitely be reading it. So jcbook.com. So it's jc.co. Sorry.
Yeah.
So jcbook.co.
It's like JC Book Company.
Yeah, and exactly.
That stands for Jesus Christ.
Or go to Parousia Media.
Yeah.
It's accessible there. The Messiah's Donkey. Make sure you get a copy for your children. This is very important in the whole process of catechizing your children. You know, from books, from stories, but this is very, very important. Get a copy by Anthony Salome,
comedian and
radio host.
And now author.
Now author.
I never thought I'd hear that. You know what was amazing? I was in Mass on Sunday and I was sitting down with my wife and my son, and a family came and sat next to us. And my wife, she gave me a little nudge before Mass started, and I looked across, and there was a young girl holding this book in her hand, bringing it to Mass with her.
Wow.
I don't know, that made me feel better than any kind of, you know, award nomination or, you know.
There's nothing that beats, you know, even in my experience, or anyone doing apostolate or ministry, when you see the fruit of your work, you know, and beautifully when you see children carrying these books and taking in the beauty of the gospel and the message and the beautiful images, you know, just the illustrations, absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, brother.
And, you know, and they bring it to church rather than playing with a truck, rather than playing with some other toy or food, you know, they're sitting there reading this, mate, that must give you immense joy.
I can't explain it. It was a phenomenal feeling.
When you help people and you see the fruit of your work just before your eyes. But see, you don't know how many people you're helping through this. We won't know till we're in heaven.
Yeah,
but it's this small consolations, I believe. Yeah. So let's go through J is for Jesus. What is this about?
So it's an ABC book. It goes from A to Z. And each letter represents, you know, either
A.
It's for the angels, yeah. Yep. So, like, each letter kind of represents, you know, one of God's gifts for us or something about our faith. Like, you know, M is for Mary, P is to pray. So, and it's a rhyming book. So, each two letters rhyme.
Okay, yes.
And what I've done, I've put a Bible verse on each page, and that Bible verse relates to that letter. So, and they're verses that kids can actually absorb. I know the Bible can be a little bit overwhelming for children sometimes.
Exactly.
A lot of it can go over their head. So I've picked Bible verses where they, if they read it, opened up the Bible and read it, they can really comprehend what the verse is about.
I mean, it's these easy and simple things that help to bring the faith, you know, not just reading the whole Bible, throwing things in their face. It's these beautiful, simple, easy to read things that are, you know, are really a practical tool. You're here on the toolbox. You just asked me, what would I have in my toolbox? I mean, I might add these to my toolbox.
It must be a pretty big toolbox.
I mean, this is a great, I mean, you want to talk about a practical tool. This is a great practical tool, you know, for translating the gospel that you've done and you've put it into action by making these beautiful books with beautiful images, with a simple message that relates easily to kids, and a Bible verse, a scriptural reference. Now, what has been the fruit of the scriptural reference that you've had? Have some children wondered, oh, Romans 12:10. Where can I find that?
That's right.
Have some children asked, oh, I better get a Bible. I want to see what's in that.
I've had parents tell me that their kids have come up to them saying, can we get the Bible? I want to know what this is about. And I'm like, wow, like it's mind-blowing.
They've been reading it, enjoying it, and they're seeing Exodus 14:14.
Yeah.
Can I get a Bible, please? Okay. follow these things up.
What greater reward?
Exactly.
There is no greater reward, you know?
These are the practical tools, you know, that we need, you know, and you've done it beautifully, you know, as a comedian, as a creative person. You've put it into these beautiful books to spark that journey and build that, plant that seed.
And, you know, the seed is, I mean, I'm going to these schools and, George, yep. I kid you not, like I do a Q&A with the kids and I ask, you know, first question I ask them, who is Jesus? And the answers you get is just kids, I mean, God bless parents. They're doing a good job. There's kids out there that they're really, you know, the foundation is that one kid I was at St. Charbel's primary school a couple of weeks ago. And one kid's like, I don't want to ask a question, but I just wish I could take all of Jesus's pain. And I'm like, he was in year one.
Yeah.
Like, you have adults that have real understanding of the faith and they can comprehend kind of what it's about and what Jesus went through and how he suffered. Like a kid, you know, the innocence is just, it's phenomenal. So,
yeah.
I mean, just talking to him, it just inspires me to keep going. So
absolutely. And how important is the seed, planting that
everything.
Seed?
Without the seed, there's no fruit.
Would your faith through COVID lockdown, I know it took a while, you know, everyone's journey is different and looks different, but would your faith have flourished? Would you have started to go to mass if your parents hadn't planted that initial seed?
Probably not.
That sprouted all the way down to 2020?
That's right.
You know? And part of that seed is not just, you know, not everyone, especially today, has those strong Maronite parents with faith or any other parent who's a practicing Catholic with faith that's giving him that seed.
That's
You know what? This is a part of that seed, you know, that can be planted. Or maybe it's part of, you know, nourishing, you know, that seed, you know, parents who are helping their children grow in their faith. This is part of the journey to help them comprehend the truths of the gospel. That we hope, you know, will come to fruition straight away, you know, or at least, you know, some people don't start living their faith to the full till maybe later teenage years or later in life. They'll always remember that and have that foundation.
Yeah.
And you're really, really contributing to that.
We're trying. And I think we all have to try. Like, no matter what field we're working
exactly.
in, no matter what we do in life, we can all contribute to, you know, spreading the word of God, you know, giving God his glory and just letting people know, you know, what's out there for them because so many people are lost. So many people, they're going through life and, you know, I think it is our duty. It's our job to try and help save as many souls as possible. We're called to do it. Like you said, being a Christian is not, you know, we're asked to carry our cross, and that may mean people might think, oh, man, this guy, annoying guy again speaking, you know, but we have to do it. You know, we're called to do it. Even if you're an electrician, you're a plumber, you're a
whatever you're called to do,
there is a way that you can incorporate the faith into your work
with the skills that especially God has given you.
Amen.
You know, using that. And that's the whole principle of this discussion here on the Catholic Toolbox. We want to speak to people who've taken action with their faith, translated their faith and put and taken action, whether it's in their personal lives or what they're doing as well, to help others come closer to God and save souls. And I think they're absolute terrific books. And do we have any more coming through at the moment?
The next one is on Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark.
It's called Noah and the Ark of Life. So that'll be out, God willing, in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm trying to put a Christmas one out at Christmas time.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
So that'd be
absolutely amazing.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to do as much as I can. But,
so for those listening here, J is for Jesus. Make sure you get a copy of this. This is definitely and should be part of the journey of your children in learning about the faith and growing closer to our Lord. So make sure you go to jcbook.co. That is jcbook.co. Or you can go to parousiamedia.com. That is parousiamedia.com. And go to the store and these books will be available. The Messiah's Donkey and J is for Jesus. Beautiful books by comedian Anthony Salome.
Thank you, brother.
This is the Zayt to your Zatar.
It is the Zayt to my Zatar, 100%.
Of our faith.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And you know, no matter what I do with my work, with my comedy or radio or theater, whatever it is, like I'll, God willing, I'll continue to make these books. I love it. I really do. I just keep reinvesting into creating more, and the process is so enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I want to point out, like, I can't just go create books on the faith and say, I make sure a priest reads them all the time, mm-hmm. and reads over them and make sure they don't veer off the path in any way or try to mislead.
Yeah.
Because obviously,
theologically, to make sure that it's theologically correct. For those who don't know, that's called what's called an imprimatur or nihil obstat, where somebody assesses your work before publishing, to make sure there's no error or anything.
Correct.
We all have to go through it.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful, you know. And what I love is the illustration.
Mm.
Let's talk about the illustration here a little bit.
Filipino illustrator.
Lebanese Filipino. Go right. Well together.
Man, it goes perfect together. So I think I work. I don't know how many authors work like this, but my illustrator doesn't see any of the text at all.
Mm-hmm.
I have a kind of an image in my mind of what I want for the illustration, and I just say to him, give me this, and then he sends it, and then I go back, change it to this, and he's brilliant like that.
Yeah.
And he even said to me, like, after when we were working on the first book, and I said to him, are you enjoying working on this project? It's very different than anything he's ever done before. Mm. And he said, it actually, like, he's loved it because it's kind of, once again, that seed started, you know, the fruit started growing. He said, yeah, it's kind of reconnected me with my faith and, you know, it's something that I had when I was a child, and it's kind of brought me back to that. So,
wow.
You know, it's, yeah, and he's brilliant. He's amazing. So I enjoy working with him and, you know, I mean, it took me about 4 illustrators to get to him. I was going to go ahead and do the book, and I'm so, like, praise God, everything happens for a reason. But, yeah, he's a very talented man. I just found him online.
Yeah, so a bit credit to John Ray C. Burris.
Yes, and, you know,
John Ray Burris,
what I try to do, especially with this J is for Jesus, I incorporate all different ethnicities in it for the kids. So when the kids open up,
oh yeah,
no matter if they're dark skin, Indian, Arab, Asian, they will find a child in this book, one of the characters that relates to them. You know,
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
what a detail.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, in this multicultural world that we're living in, and this,
you know, the society, gospel is not, you know, one.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the gospel is not just for Maronites, okay? No.
Although some Maronites may tell you something different, but
The gospel is for everybody, you know. Go therefore to all nations, Amen. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah. And mate, I really, really see it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, especially on the same page, you have different ethnicities, you know, and the gospel, you know, is not about, you know, our background, you know.
It's not.
It's for everybody.
And you know, sometimes faith and culture get a little bit mixed up and intertwined, and sometimes, you know, it can kind of be just separated. But like you said, it's for everyone and all kids, and no matter what kid it is, when they open the book, they should feel like they can relate to who they're looking
exactly.
at.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's just beautiful. You know, I feel like a kid again.
Thank you, brother.
I'll be reading.
Well, Jesus said we got to be like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, right?
So, absolutely. Yeah. We have to have that childlike faith. And, and you know, even for adults, I encourage people who are adults, get a copy of these, and then even for your children, engage in this. And, you know, we need to translate the gospel in different ways, and everybody has their part to play.
Amen. In,
you know, whether it's telling stories, whether it's writing beautiful books and illustrating books like this, whether it's radio, whether it's, you know, through academic ways, everyone has to do their bit to get the gospel, because not everybody is going to listen to the same platform.
That's right.
You know, imagine we don't have everybody covering with their different gifts. We miss people. You know,
so true.
And you know, not many people. Many people might not want to listen to radio. Many people might not want to read, but they go on YouTube. They go on TikTok. They go on different platforms. There's people who just want to read a simple book. They're all about colors, and you know, this can cover all young children who can read these beautiful books. And definitely, I encourage everybody to check out Anthony Salome as a comedian.
Thank you, brother.
Very, very important. I help you. You help me.
And you know, I'm. Can I ask you, like, how was it publishing a book for adults?
Mm-hmm.
Because something that I would love to eventually do, maybe not adults, but even for teenagers. That's what I'm hearing from schools. A lot of teachers are saying to me,
teenagers,
"These are amazing."
Teenagers, yeah.
Can you create content for the slightly older
next level
kids?
Up,
yeah. And I mean, like, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I've got some ideas, but I'm very, very far from doing anything like that. Like, how was it for you? Like, because when you get into that level and speaking to them on an intellectual level, where and it's about the faith, like it's a whole another ball game, you know. It's not about simplifying. For me, it's about simplifying it so kids can understand and absorb it. But for you, how did you find that process?
I would say there's a common denominator between what you're doing here and, you know, publishing, you know, my books, The Art of Practical Catholicism. We live in an age today where, you know, TikTok, scrolling, short attention spans, people don't want to read so much anymore. You know, we're in the era of podcasts, short videos, short clips. And, you know, that's why in the show here, we keep it short and sweet and we get to the point. I think people just want to get to the point. Yeah. They want to, you know, we're not in such a intellectual renaissance today.
Yeah.
You know, people just want that beautiful, right. simple point explained well. And
quick fix.
There you go. So to be able to reach people, and look, whether people are so intellectual or not, the reality is we have to have the faith of children.
That's right.
And that's what I love. There's a common denominator between what you've done here and what needs to be done for teenagers. And especially with The Art of Practical Catholicism, which my book, which you can get a copy of through Parousia Media or online anywhere, I want to cover everybody to be able to read an agenda of the faith, that whether it's your prayer life or how to evangelize in the workplace, and then we translate to three practical tools. What can I do? Giving you practical advice, and then we leave people room at the back to write their own practical tools, because it's a mindset.
Yeah,
I think is to keep it. Is to get to the point and to be simple, because that's the point of our faith. Our faith is simple. You know, these beautiful books are simple. And our faith is two things. It's noble simplicity.
Yeah.
It's noble, but it's simple. And I think that's the key, you know, to really reach this generation, whether it's young children to young adults, we have to make the faith attractive and convey it in a simple manner.
Amen.
Because the living out of our faith, that's the challenge, yeah. You know? Let's keep the learning of our faith simple so we can focus on taking action.
That's very true. Yeah. Now I'm learning tonight. I'm enjoying this conversation, but you're throwing out some pearlers, brother.
Yeah. Mate, we're learning from each other. Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful. And I thank you so much for coming here on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was
we definitely have to have you back to discuss
anytime, other books
or even comedy, Catholic comedy perhaps.
You know, Charbel Raish, actually, he's mentioned that to me as well. He's like, do you got to do Catholic comedy or Christian comedy? You know what I mean? Like,
I can help you there with a lot of...
Yeah, he's a good guy. And, you know, speaking about reading books, you walk into Perusia Media, into their bookstore there. I feel like I want to pick everything up and just read it.
Yeah. You're like a kid in a candy store there.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. Shout out to Charbel Raish.
Big shout out to Perusia Media.
Perusia Media. You know?
That's why I'm here. That's why I came back to the faith. It's that simple CD, Perusia Media. And then it gets you started.
Yeah.
You're on that journey and then you start wanting more and more.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank God for people answering God's call. And thank you for answering God's call.
Amen. You gotta pick it up. You gotta pick it up. If he calls, you got to pick up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank you for tuning into the Catholic Toolbox. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts on any platform. Make sure you go to thecatholictoolboxshow.com. That is thecatholictoolboxshow.com. Until next week, I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. God bless, take care, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.